Before I get into the message this morning, I just want to say a big thank you again for last week and the big give. I tell you, I love the generous heart within this church. And to live beyond ourselves like that is just truly amazing. So thank you for doing that. And once again, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And I know, tomorrow is actually the day, but this is the Thanksgiving weekend. And that means for many of us that we'll be gathering with family or friends who have become like family. And we're going to get together. We're going to eat a lot of yummy food as we hang out together. And getting together with family, for some, that is like a tradition. And it was for my family, the Finnamore clan. I grew up, every year we went to a family home and we would have dinner together. And there would be playing football, hanging out with my extended family. I have a whole lot of cousins. And for the most part, it was always awesome. The food was tremendous, though my grandfather, when he said grace, took a really long time to say grace. Because you know, you're sitting there, you smell it, you kind of peek in as a kid, you see it, and grandpa just kept praying around the world. But it was so good. That food was always there, and the food was tremendous. And my Aunt Joanne would make this salad. That's what they called it, a salad. It was like the best salad ever. It had Jell-O, whipped cream, and these big purple cherries that went in it. I don't know how it didn't end up in the dessert category, but they called it a salad. And as a kid, that was my kind of salad. Okay, who's kidding who? It's still my kind of salad. But it was an amazing day. And we'd hang out all day with the family, and we loved it so much. I have so many good memories from those times, even though I often went home with new bruises from playing football or rug burn from wrestling with my cousins. But there are good memories there. And now, we typically still get together with family, not the whole Finnamore clan. And tomorrow, we have them descending on our home as we host the gathering this year. And I can tell you something that will happen most likely between dinner and dessert. My sister, Julie, is going to ask us, all of us, what we are thankful for in this past year. And it seems like an easy question, right? But I have observed, you know, and again, it's me observing this, that it takes a lot more thinking for our kids to come up with what they're thankful for than it does, you know, we who are the parents or the grandparents. We very quickly can think of many things we're thankful for. And again, it's just my observation. But in our society today, thankfulness seems to be in short supply, right? In this day and age that we're living, where once gratitude seemed to abound in our Canadian culture, now it's kind of like going to the zoo, you know, and they have this massive enclosure, and inside the enclosure, they have that rare species of animal that everyone is coming to see, except you stare into what you think is an empty enclosure. You know it's in there, but it's really hard to see it, and I think that's our culture today. It's like trying to see that animal at the zoo. You know it's there, but you just can't see it. And these are challenging times to light the fire of gratitude. Because we're living in a culture where so many think they are owed all kinds of things. Because we have so many of these rights. And with these rights come these expectations that they are to be met. And when they're not met, well, people get upset. That leads to whining, anger, protesting, even bitterness for some. But when they are met, we are just getting what we deserve. So why be thankful? Now call me crazy. That is a really sad way to go through life. Thankfulness and gratitude really ought to be the way that we move through life. Because we have so much to be thankful for. You know, doing life and seeing and acknowledging all the blessings that we have, Okay, life from that perspective is so much more enjoyable. It is so much more enjoyable to live and experience. And today, we are going to be looking at a story in Luke 17, 11 to 19, about a thankful one. So let's pray, and we're going to head into this. Father God, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you for the worship that has already taken place here. Lord Jesus, we know that you are here in our presence. And I just thank you for Michelle and that song about the power of your name. And Lord, you do break chains in so many different ways. And Lord Jesus, this morning as we come to your word, I just pray in your name that you would forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and fill me up as I come to bring the word. And Lord Jesus, I pray you'd open up the hearts and minds of my friends to receive from you what you have for them. Lord, move in power today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, starting in verse 11 in Luke 17. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus! Jesus! Master! Have pity on us!" So, Jesus and his disciples are moving from one place to another. They're on a journey. They have some place to be. When they are interrupted by these 10 men who should not have even spoken to them because of their sickness, because of their leprosy. Now, lepers during this day were outcasts due to the fact people did not want to catch what they had. They didn't know how it was transmitted, so they thought it best to keep them far and away from any healthy people. In fact, they needed to stay as a leper at least 100 feet from any healthy person. And they needed to cry out as they walked into town, cry out as they went, "Leper! Leper!" so that people could quickly move out of their way to get to that 100 feet. Because people wanted to avoid them at all costs. Because to have leprosy was to be unclean. Now, can you imagine? I mean, just imagine walking down the street, people running away from you or moving to make sure they stayed that 100 feet away. Do you think that these men, these 10 men, had self-images that were as diseased as their bodies were? Because having leprosy at this time was as hopeless as it could get. I mean, you were cut off from all your family. You were cut off from all your friends and the emotional support that they might give. I mean, you could not work, so you could not provide for your family, so that sense of purpose was lost. You could not go to the synagogue. I mean, and that would have been seen as being cut off, not just from your religious family, but from God himself. That spiritual support for you was not there. And depending on the form of leprosy you had, and all skin diseases were referred to as leprosy at this time. But if you had the real deal, if you had leprosy, that would mean the loss of feeling in your hands and in your feet, which could lead to the loss of fingers and even your entire hand itself. Okay, this was as sad and as difficult as it could get. But Jesus, news of Jesus and his ability to heal would have spread throughout the region. And so these 10 men see this hope of healing coming towards them. But they can't get close, so they just cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" And they're crying out from a place of desperation, the place they were living from. Understand, there's no getting better from this. You know, apart from an act of God, apart from a miracle. And they heard that Jesus could do the miraculous. So they call out to Jesus, "Have compassion on us." Or, "Jesus, care enough for us that you might act and free us from this place of hopelessness. Have pity, have compassion, save us, save us." Now, I think we've been learning in this series, Jesus is full of compassion. I mean, he's full of compassion for people. When he and his disciples tried to get away, to have some time, downtime with just, you know, the 13 of them, and the crowd followed them, you know, you read there, as we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, that he had compassion on the crowd, and he healed them, and he taught them, and he fed them. And we learned last week that at that wedding, when there was shame looming to fall on the groom's family, Mary, his mother, made him aware of the problem, the fact that he had run out of wine. And that shame was going to fall on that family. And she just told Jesus about the problem. But she knew he could not help but act and provide the wine needed to save that family from shame. And here, Jesus sees these 10 desperate men and has compassion on them. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now we read this and we might wonder, why is he sending them to the priests? It's because the priest was the one that could pronounce them clean. That is, the priest was the one who would say they'd been healed. He was the one who could then return them to the life they once knew, having been pronounced clean. And they could go back to work. They could go back to their family, back to the community of faith, when they were pronounced clean from the priest. Everything that they had been excluded from would be open to them again. And let me point out that for these 10, this was a step of faith, because Jesus told them to go, but when they went, they were still covered in leprosy. This was a step of faith. This was a step of obedience. Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they obeyed, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were made whole. As they went, they were healed. And can you imagine the limbs that had hung at their side as they walked along suddenly had feeling return and they could move them. And their skin, it was being restored. I mean, if they're walking with a limp, as they go, suddenly the limp just disappears as they walk in this obedience to Jesus. You know, I can't help but think, if they had digits missing from their hands, that would have been restored as well. Jesus did not partially heal. He healed completely. And please don't miss this huge takeaway this morning. Blessing comes on the path of obedience to Jesus. Let me say that again. Blessing comes on the path of obedience to Jesus. It was true for these 10 men. It's still very true today. It's all about trusting and obeying. I mean, these men were in desperate straits. And as they did as Jesus asked them to, everything changed. You know, over the years, I have sat with many a youth or adult who were in desperate straits, not because of leprosy, but often unwise living, and for some, willful disobedience to God. They had lived that out. And now they were experiencing Proverbs 14:12. The verse says, "There is a way," that is, there is a path, "there is a path that seems right to a man." And they followed it because of the money it promised, or the power, or the privilege that it would afford them, or the pleasure they thought they would enjoy. And often, they had money for a time. Often they had that power and they had that privilege for a time. Or they felt that pleasure for a moment. But now the path they're on has taken them to a place they never wanted to be. And they feel as desperate as those lepers crying out. Because that proverb finishes that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And they've been on that path. And they suddenly realize where it's taking them. And they are desperate. They are desperate. Can I remind you of what Jesus said in John 14:6? He said, "I am the way." Jesus tells us, "I am the path. I am the path and the truth. He is the truth that sets us free. And he is the life. Not death, but life. A life that is full of good things. Not free of hardship, but full of good things. One being gratitude for all Jesus has done for us, because through him, we come to the Father. We come to the Lord God. Blessing comes on the path of obedience to Jesus. And we can obey him now. Now, I have to do full disclosure here. Because you need to know, I have also sat with people who are facing challenges before them because they have walked the path of obedience. But those conversations are so different. Because oftentimes when I'm sitting with those couples or the individual that's going through a hardship, there is a calm assurance. There is a prevailing peace that they have because they know they are walking the path that Jesus has laid out for them. But Jesus has not removed the hardship. What Jesus is doing is he is leading them through the hardship. He's guiding them through it. Not removing it, but guiding them through it. And I have watched people and seen them going through these hardships as they've trusted Jesus. And I watch as their trust level goes up and up and up. Because Jesus proves himself faithful every step of the way as they follow him in obedience. Now back to our lepers. Oh, the joy they must have felt. I mean, come on, the rush of knowing that all that's been lost to them is now going to be restored. The gratitude that must have welled up inside of them. You just have to think that they were so thankful. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Only one of them? Just one? Came back praising God, full of thankfulness and humility as he threw himself at the feet of Jesus? What are the other nine? Now the sermon today, you can see it in the front of the bulletin, is called The Thankful One. I thought about calling this sermon The Unthankful Nine. But I figured that was such a downer for Thanksgiving Sunday. But you got to wonder, where were the other nine? Where were they? Now, they would have gone to the priest for sure. Because him declaring them clean was their ticket back to the life they lost. But surely, they would have come back to Jesus right after that. Nope. We have no record of that happening anywhere. So where might they have gone? Well, back to their families, back to their wife, to the children. I mean, can you imagine the excitement of having back a husband that was lost, a father that was lost, a brother that was lost, a son that was lost to you? Every one of these nine were eager to get back to their lives, so much so they did not thank the one who made it all possible, Jesus. One did, though. One did. And he was a good, religious, faithful Jewish man, right? Nope. You know, can I say, this is why I love the Bible. One of the many reasons that I love it and I believe it to be the Word of God, it is brutally honest. The one who's thankful had returned to Jesus, he was a Samaritan. Samaritans were really disliked by the Jews. As they were seen as half-breeds with very poor theology. And for the most part, the Samaritans and the Jews had nothing to do with each other. But apparently, leprosy was a great equalizer. And Jews and Samaritans would live together as lepers. Samaritans were seen by Jews as beyond help when it came to their faith. And lepers were seen as beyond help when it came to health. And living in a community. And yet Jesus, like he does, tears away at what people perceive to be possible. And he saves this man. He saves this Samaritan. And could I remind you that Jesus does what we perceive to be impossible. Jesus does what we perceive to be impossible. See, I wonder this morning if you have a family member, or maybe it's a friend, that you believe is so far from God that they are never coming back. But nothing is impossible with Jesus. So don't give up on them. Keep bringing them before our Lord in prayer. You know, and it's an encouragement to me that the people, the religious leaders of Jesus' day wrote off, were often the ones that he saved and he took, even as his disciples. That's our Jesus. That's our Lord. See, Jesus sees past what's on the outside. Jesus sees the heart of who we are within, and it matters to Jesus. And with Jesus, the impossible is possible because Jesus is the God of miracles. But Jesus does ask a question. Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus takes this moment to teach. And he speaks to the Samaritan. And this Samaritan got to be at the feet of Jesus. No longer that distance. He got to be at the feet of Jesus and was blessed by him. You know, every commentary that I looked at said that this Samaritan man received an extra blessing from Jesus as he sent him out. But this came because he was thankful. It came because he was filled with gratitude. Thankfulness and gratitude that caused him to return to Jesus and thank him personally. How important is that? I mean, how important is that for us as Christians? So I want you to stop for a minute here. I want you to picture in your mind this morning, I want you to picture in your mind the most thankful person that you know in your life. I want you to think of that person. I want you to get a picture of that person in your mind. Just think about that for a minute. Most thankful person you know. Now, you can answer this for yourself. But that thankful person that you're thinking of, are they also not one of the happiest, joy-filled people that you know? When there is an attitude of gratitude in someone, it's a beautiful thing. And I've mentioned in this in the past that we as Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. Now, you may never have been cured from leprosy, but you understand that your sin debt, the one that would have taken you an eternity to pay off in a place called hell, separated from God, has been paid. It's been paid for by Jesus. That God sent his son because he loved you, and Jesus paid your debt of sin. And you can ask for and receive forgiveness from God because of what Jesus did, and you can receive salvation. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you can live life in an ongoing relationship with our Heavenly Father. And being in Christ, that means that you will be declared justified. Just as if you've never sinned. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And when we are in Christ, that is, we have received that forgiveness. We have asked him to be our Lord and our Savior. Well, we get to be a part of the family. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay, call me crazy, but I tell you, this is something to be thankful for. And
And on this side of eternity, we get to do life with Jesus. Gratitude ought to be pouring out of us for all that Jesus, God, has done for us. Oh my goodness. Pouring out of us. Now we call it worship at times. But there's so much more to it. It's also thankfulness. I want to tell you a story about one of my kids. They're all different. Katie is our youngest, and she expresses gratitude a lot. Yes, she does. She's also a really good photobomber, and she's a great kid. Now, she does gymnastics, and her gym where she does her gymnastics is on this side of town. We live on the other side of town, and you guys all know, moving around Brampton, it's not easy anymore. It's traffic almost all the time. And more often than not, she gets a ride from Bonnie and I. Now, she can't take the bus. She has taken the bus. But she gets a ride from us. I don't want to be really honest with you this morning. Giving her a ride back and forth to gymnastics, it's really a pain. It really is. I mean, let me try to explain it a little better for you. It's because of the frequency. Monday, she's there from 5 to 9. Tuesday, she's there from 6 to 8. She coaches on Tuesday nights. Wednesday, she's there from 5 to 9 training. Thursday, that's youth group night. That's a priority. She's here. On Friday, she's there training from 5 to 9. Saturday, she's there from 10 to 2 coaching. And she coaches to help pay for all the gymnastics that she's doing. And we drive her a lot. Like, it seems that's all we do. I mean, I want you to understand this. We now have dinner at my house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we can have dinner as a family, okay? And I've talked to Tracy and Michelle. I let them know I'm gonna be coming in earlier so I can go home earlier. And so that means I have to get really early just so I can get home and have dinner. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I can then drive my daughter to gymnastics. But we want to have dinner together. Why do we keep driving her? I mean, why do we keep driving this kid back and forth, her mom and I, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to gymnastics? Why do we keep doing that? Thank you. She is the most thankful kid. Like, I can hardly remember a time that we're dropping her off or we're bringing her home when she does not get out of the vehicle and say, "Dad, thank you so much for driving me home from gymnastics tonight." It is that thankfulness, and it warms my heart to see it in her, that it's worth the time and the effort to do that for her. But keep in mind, I'm her dad. She's my daughter. And she says, "Thank you," again and again. And we see that gratitude from her. Her mom and I both see it. Okay, here's the take home. God is not unlike us. I want you to understand that. We are made in his image. He is not unlike us. And he is our dad. Do you think, and I sure do, I believe it warms his heart when we're full of gratitude and we say thank you to him. You know, and I know it is so cheesy, but I can't help it. I grew up watching VeggieTales, and I just remember that song Junior Asparagus sang. A thankful heart is a happy heart. It is so true. And we have so much to be thankful for. And what God has done for us, that we ought to literally pour out gratitude to our Lord and Savior day after day after day. That's a part of our time with him. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done for me. And even when things are hard, because let's face it, life gets hard, there are all kinds of things that we can still thank God for. And part of that is the strength to come through the hard parts, that he will see us through. My friends, gratitude. Oh, have thankful hearts.
Remind yourself daily of what Jesus has done for you. Pour out that praise. Pour out that thankfulness.